Testing, testing. Good evening. Let me welcome you here to Calvary Chapel. Appreciate you guys coming out this rainy week. I think they say we're supposed to have about 2.5 to 5 inches this week, so we still got a lot more to go. So we're going to be in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. I heard Juan did a super job last Wednesday night, so we're very thankful for him and very grateful. We started a look at the study of Gideon. We looked at chapter 6. I know the ladies started that study last night, so but we're going to be in chapter 7 with Gideon. I'm more than likely just staying in this chapter tonight. There's so much in Gideon, so we're not going to be exhaustive. I know the ladies' Bible study is 7 weeks in Gideon, so we'll just be 3 studies there. So let's pray. Father, we want to come to you this evening and thank you for the privilege of coming to you and bringing our needs and our desire to grow and mature as believers. We know so much of that is through the teaching and ministry of the Word of God into our hearts, whether it's private devotions, whether we read it ourselves or we hear it taught or preached. We just thank you for the manner in which you've enabled us to grow. We think about different plants that need water and fertilizer, and how you've given us in so many ways through the Bible a rich environment to grow and mature. We pray that we would not waste that time, that we would understand that your purpose is that we know the Word. I want to thank you for the desire and hunger that you've given us for the Word, being willing to come out on a rainy Wednesday to come out here and study the Bible and to continue our journey through the book of Judges. We just pray that you would open our hearts up. We're grateful for all that you have done and are doing in our lives, and we're confident that you are here. May you be glorified. May you be the focus of our hearts as we come before you and ask that you speak to us through the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 7, we sort of looked at Gideon himself in the first part, the call of God that he gave to Gideon and how God had a plan for him. God spoke to him as a man of valor, even though he hadn't done anything yet. And he was like, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Sort of. And God was speaking to him. God knew what he was going to do. And so we looked at that call that God gave to Gideon. And in the 7th chapter, he's beginning to go out. And sort of his faith is going to be strengthened in this chapter. Let me just mention that the Midianites were a nomadic people. They were coming in every year. During the time of harvest and basically, or really right after harvest, and basically, you know, robbing the people, taking their food supply, taking their animals. And so the nation of Israel was impoverished because of that. We talked about how oftentimes sin itself has a tendency to impoverish people. And we talked about the practical side of that in the sense of when people sometimes are involved in certain kinds of sins, it can really affect an individual's finances or their, you know, their possessions or their consistency in work or their stable environment. And sin creates a lot of problems. And we're seeing that, in this 6th chapter of Judges. And so the Midianites were coming in, and God is calling Gideon to be that instrument that he wants to use in order to deliver Israel. God raised up individuals. One of the themes of the book of Judges is in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did what was right in his own eyes. It's very similar to our country today. There was a lack of strong leadership. There was a lack of very consistent leadership. They would come and go, and the nation would quickly turn back to its old ways of idolatry or abandoning God, and God would allow these other countries to come in and basically bring judgment upon them. It was a form of chastisement. And so in the 7th chapter, God's going to begin to strengthen Gideon's faith in order to accomplish the task that God's called him to do. I want to just point that out to you. There are times that God calls us to do something that really is in some ways beyond us or bigger than us or like, you know, and what we're going to see is God's going to, you know, allow him to have baby steps as his faith is strengthened. We see that throughout the scriptures. When God calls a person, oftentimes they're not to the point where they do what God's ultimately going to use them to do. They're being stretched. They're growing. So our faith has to be stretched if it's going to grow. We have to understand that. So we'll see this in this 7th chapter of Gideon himself. He's a young man. He doesn't really understand the ways of God, and he knows the Lord in some ways. He's rejected his father's false god, And he's really turned to the Lord, and he wants God to use him, but he's not there yet. So it's just a great lesson that all of us need to learn, that oftentimes God gives us this calling or this vision or this whatever that's way beyond us. But believe me, the Bible says, faithless he that called you who will also do it. So if God's called us to do something, he's the one that not only equips us, but provides everything we need to accomplish it. And part of that is the strengthening of our faith. Sometimes what he's asking us to do is way beyond us. We can't do this. And I say that only in the sense of faith. I'm not saying we ever can do it. We never can do it. God's the one who ultimately does it. But our faith has to rise to the occasion so God can move through us. Without faith, what? It's impossible to please God, right? Whatever's not of faith is what? Sin. So whatever we do as believers, we have to do by faith. We just respond. Faith is a response to what God is telling us. So it's not just making stuff up and think I'll just do this. If you think about some of the word of faith claims or the word of faith teaching, it's a lot of it's unbiblical. But faith is a response to what God is calling us to do. And that we have to remember that. So God's told me something, and I'm responding and saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. So in the seventh chapter, we'll see how God's going to strengthen Gideon's faith. And all these things are in the same way he does us. So look in verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at his faith being tested. He says this, look in verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, that was another name for him, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. Now again, a lot of the Israelites had gathered together to fight Midian. So that's these people that are with him. They encamped before the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, just stop for a moment. In other words, God says, if I accomplish the defeat of the Midianites with all these people, about 35,000 of them, against 125,000, then they're going to claim that it was their own power that did that. So I want you to consider that in regards to how God works. You know, I got a verse up here, Isaiah 42, verse 8. Here's what it says. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. God will not share his glory, or he will not share credit. Why? Well, no one deserves credit but him. God does it all. That's why the Bible says, and I quote that verse very often, he's put this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's a New Testament verse. So in other words, God's put this treasure, the Holy Spirit and the power of God, in earthen vessels. That's you and I. Why has he put this treasure in earthen vessels? So that the excellency of the power. God does things through us that are way beyond us. And the result is God gets the glory for it, because nobody can do these kinds of things. So God enjoys that. God wants to reveal himself. So as Israel gathered to fight the Midianites, God basically said, look, if they defeat the Midianites, even though they're way outnumbered, you know, God knew their heart, and he knew that they would claim that they did it on their own. And I want you to think about that. In light of what we're studying here, making sure that you don't steal his glory, you don't rob God of anything that he rightfully deserves. That's why in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about when the saints get before the throne, they cast their crowns before the throne and say to you, and you alone deserve power and honor and strength and glory, for you have prevailed. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's what he's saying. And another verse is in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 15. Here's what it says. If I can get it to, there we go. It says, shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? Now what's happening in this passage, this statement, God's using Assyria as his hand of judgment on these other nations. And Assyria was boasting itself. The Babylonians were boasting themselves. And so God says, shall an axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up? Or as if a staff could lift up, as it were, not wood? So God is saying, who is Assyria? Assyria is a nobody. but I'm using the Assyrians. And it reminds me, remember, of Nebuchadnezzar, who claimed the glory. Remember that? You know, look at this great country, this great Babylon that I have built. And God allowed him to go insane. And he went insane. Remember that? For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar ate grass like an ox, and his fingernails grew out long, and because he didn't give God the glory. Remember Herod? Well, on that day in the book of Acts, when he received all the glory, and the people were saying, we're hearing from a God and not a man. And the Bible says that God struck Herod, and he was eaten of worms and died. It's an amazing consistency throughout the Bible of how God, you know, this statement of, can the axe boast itself against the individual using it? So God is basically saying in our passage here that God's not going to allow Israel to claim glory for something he does. So God has got to do something in order that everybody knows it's just God. Okay? And God likes that. And it requires faith in order to do that. In other words, there are times when we could call in reinforcements, if you will, or we could call in help. But God says, no, you just trust me and let me do it, you and me. That way, when I do it, you'll know that it says I did it. It wasn't all this reinforcements. That's the same idea in our study here. So look, if you will, down in verse 3. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. This was one of the laws of the nation. Matter of fact, when they gathered the army together in the Old Testament, back before this, God told them, when the army is gathered, you ask anybody that's afraid to go home. Give them an excuse not to fight. Because they knew, God knew, that if in the middle of the battle, all of a sudden you get a bunch of cowards that run away, it's going to affect everybody else. So God, in effect, and then look what happens. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. This army of 32,000 people, it says 22,000 left, 10,000 remained. So 32,000 people, all of a sudden it's down to 10,000. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. How do you think the 10,000 were feeling about now? You know, it's like, you know, okay, it's going to be tough. I can remember as a kid, you know, you sort of divide up into teams, you're out for, you know, practicing, whatever, and you're going to divide up into teams, and you're picking your sides, and you know within a few minutes who's going to win the game because, you know, I don't know. You know, that's what's going on here. Then let's keep reading here in verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So go to the water, let everybody get a drink, and then as you're doing that, I will continue to sift them out. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. So everybody getting on his knees or, you know, putting their face in the water. And the number of those who lap, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. You know, people say, well, the reason they did that was because they had their sword. They're holding their sword when they're getting on their knees, you know. No, actually, these people were way overweight and they had to bend down to get the water because they couldn't. Anyway, I'm just saying that. It's sort of funny. But he says, all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who have lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, everyone to his place. So the Lord took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of the Israel, every man to his tent, retained those 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now, I just want you to consider what's happening here. And I want you to think not just about Gideon. God is dealing with Gideon. God is, what are we saying? He's testing Gideon's faith. In other words, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm reminded of Jonathan. Remember David's friend, the son of Saul? When David was still working for Saul and serving with Saul, Jonathan was a man of valor. And there was a time when the Philistines camped, and they had an encampment. They had a garrison. And Jonathan told his servant, let's go up to the garrison of the Philistines and we'll call up to them. We'll be down in the valley and we'll call up, hey, guys, what's going on? And if they say, hold it right there and we'll come down to you, we'll take off. But if they tell us, come on up, we want to show you a few things, then we'll know that God's going to deliver them into our hands. And so as they went up to the, and they showed themselves to the Philistines who were hunting the Israelites. And Jonathan said, hey guys, what's up? You know, maybe he started calling them names or making fun of them. I don't know what he said to them, but they said, come on up here. We're going to show you a few things. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, look, God has delivered them into our hands. And the Bible says Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up the valley walls, got up there about three acres. They killed about 36 of the Philistines, just Jonathan and his armor bearer. My point in all that is we talk about Gideon's faith being tested. They all knew why they were there. What is happening in the hearts of the 300? First of all, when they made the statement, if you're afraid, if you got any problems, go. 22,000 left. So these people that walked away were afraid. They didn't think they could defeat the Midianites. And yet they had 10,000 left who were willing to go fight. Now there's 300. So please understand, it's not just Gideon that God's working on. He's working on these 300. It's an amazing testimony of what God's doing, how God's testing. Do you believe ultimately that you can defeat or I can defeat the Midianites with 300 people? That's what God's really saying to Gideon. God is strengthening him. God is testing him. God is working with him. God is telling him, Gideon, there's too many people here. Yes. Oh, I can't help that. I don't know why it went off. No, I don't have the... Anyway, let's keep going. So that's okay. But I wanted you to see that, you know, what's going on here. God's testing these 300 men as well as Gideon. So that's what he's saying here, if you will. Look in verses 9 through 18. I'll go ahead and do it on here just in case it comes back up. Now, his faith is going to be tempered. Now, I want you to notice as we look at this, how this happens to almost every single person God's called. When God calls a person, you see this challenging time in their lives. Remember when Moses went before Pharaoh? And instead of Pharaoh responding positively, he just makes it worse for the Jews. And Moses has fallen apart. Moses come before God and said, what are you doing? I thought you were going to use me to deliver the Jews from the Egyptians. You know, and God's strengthening Moses' faith. And God said to Moses, what are you doing on your face? Get up. I told you I would harden his heart. I told you that I wanted to be glorified. I told you that I wanted to be revealed. I told you he would do this. And in the same way, this is God working in the lives of these people. So their faith's going to be tempered. Look in verse 9. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. Look at that. You can look at the numbers of the Midianites, or you can listen to what God says. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. What is faith? Faith is a response to what God says. It's not just me deciding to do something. It's not just me saying, well, I believe. No, faith is God speaking to me and me responding to that. God has spoken. What is he saying here? I have delivered it into your hands. This camp of the Midianites, I've delivered it into your hands. And so, and again, he's already saying to Gideon, here's what I'm going to do, Gideon. Do you believe me? Look in verse 10. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So if you're afraid, in other words, if your faith is weak, if you say to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Remember that? New Testament. The Lord wants to strengthen our faith. He wants our faith to rise to the occasion. We need work in this. God needs to strengthen our faith. So how does he do that? Different kinds of ways. What he's going to do through Gideon, he's going to strengthen his faith through his enemies. He's going to hear things from the enemy that the enemy says that Gideon won't say. It's an amazing testimony. So look in verse 11 again. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companions. So he's overhearing these guys talk in the camp. And he said, I had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley tumbled in the camp of Midian. It came down and just crashed into the camp of Midian. And it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. I had this really vivid dream. And then verse 14, then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Now, Gideon's sort of listening in on this, like, whoa! God is speaking through his enemies. And God is speaking to Gideon through his enemies. What is he saying? Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. You are going to be used by God to destroy the Midianites and deliver Israel. That's what he's saying. So all of a sudden, apparently there were people within the Midianite camp who believed that God had given Midianites into Gideon's hands. So here's the deal. When God's working in our lives, God's also working in the people or in the situation. God's working all around us. It's not just on me he's working. He's working on me. He's working on the 300. He's working on the Midianites. God's preparing all this. God's setting it all up. He's building this sense of doom and dread and destruction in the Midianites. It's cool to me how God works. Remember, we're learning in this, how does God work? What does God do? How does God enable a person, for instance, somebody like you or me, to step out in a situation and God is telling us to step out and do something for him that we think, there's no way I can do this. And we have to come to the realization, God's not intending you to do it. All he wants you to do is step out and he'll do the rest. But you have to trust him. You know, you have to step out and see what he does. You can't just sit back and you're waiting for God to do it. No, he's going to use you. So because of Gideon's weak faith, because he was probably as afraid as the 22,000 who left, God needs to strengthen his faith. And I'll say this too, God's chosen Gideon. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So Gideon, I'm sure you'd like to pass the buck to somebody else, but that's not going to happen. I've chosen you. I've called you. I've set you apart. See my point? There's times in your life where God's come to you and said something to you or told you something. He wants you to do something for him. And you're saying, how can I do that? Well, you can't. But he wants you to trust him. And so God's using his enemies in verse 14 to tell Gideon that God has called him. It's a reinforcement of this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, here's what it says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward one another. What is happening in Gideon? As he hears this, his faith is growing. Wow. 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 Remember we looked in chapter 6? God, if this is really from you, then let there be dew on the ground and the fleece dry. And God puts dew on the ground and the fleece is absolutely dry. And then Gideon, because he's weak in faith, says, Lord, I just have to ask you a second time. This time let it be dry on the ground and the fleece wet with dew. And God's working with Gideon. God understands. So don't be embarrassed or ashamed if your faith is weak. But your faith needs to be tempered. Your faith needs to be tested. Your faith needs to be strengthened. And sometimes it happens by baby steps. I'll set a fleece out, or I'll go to the camp of the Midian and listen before I attack. And all of a sudden, God is using this situation to strengthen Gideon's faith. Then in verse 13, so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation that he worshiped. Okay, I think this is the culmination. In other words, think about it like this. Just picture this. God comes to Gideon, calls Gideon. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. God says to Gideon, Gideon, I want to use you to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And what does Gideon do? Falls down and worships. What does that say? It says his faith has got to the point he's not worried about himself anymore. He's amazed that God would choose him. He's amazed that God would use him. He's amazed that God would choose somebody like him. And we know that because he just worships. He's not saying, oh no, Lord, please, like Moses did, send somebody else, get somebody else, do anything but me. Because Moses' faith was weak. And Gideon's faith was weak, just like everybody else's was. When God called Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, who am I? And so my point in all that, it's just a picture of this great thing that God's doing in the lives of his people, how God wants to strengthen our faith. Jesus said, greater things than I've done, you'll do, because I'm going to the Father. God wants us to trust him. Or another way to say that is this, is anything too hard for the Lord? He just wants somebody that's willing to step out in faith and trust him. But we've got to get beyond ourselves to the point where all we're doing is like we're amazed and we're just worshiping the Lord. And that's what happens in the life of Gideon. I think in verse 15 is the culmination of this faith being tempered. The 300, you know, it's very important for the 300 that Gideon's faith is strong. He's their leader. And what's happening in the lives of these 300 men? Gideon comes back and says, guys, you won't believe what just happened. I went in there and I'm just standing out, you know, I'm sort of incognito here. I'm hearing these guys talk about this barley loaf coming into the camp and destroying the Midianites. And this guy speaks up and says, oh, that's the sword of the Gideon. God's called him and these men to come destroy us. And don't you know the 300 are going, yes, let us at them, you know. It's an exciting time. You know, do you ever feel at times like God's fixing to do something? You know, God's on the move. What's happening here, I want to point this out, is that they know God's working. God's at work. It's like, you know, you're in an atmosphere where God's working. God's doing stuff. And it's not just in you. He hadn't just come to you. He's come to the 300. He's come to the Midianites. And all of a sudden there's an atmosphere that's being created here by the Holy Spirit in the hearts and the lives in the camp of Midian. They're all terrified of this guy named Gideon. God's setting them up. And Gideon and the 300 are aware that God is working here. God is working way more in just our lives. God's working in the camp of Midian. God's setting all this up. And I would imagine the excitement grew in the lives and hearts of these 300 plus Gideon. They're getting to this point of, wow, this is exciting. Let's go. Because when they do finally go, it's like it's obvious there's no hesitancy to go. And I don't believe they started out this way. I think all their faith is growing. They're hearing what's going on. They're seeing all this. They're watching Gideon. They're seeing Gideon's confidence. You know, he's trembling at first. Now he's getting caught. Now all of a sudden it's like, let me at him. Hold me back, you know. They're trying to hold it now, Gideon. Not quite yet, you know. It's sort of exciting. The way that God works in our lives. That's what's happening. So look, if you will, down in verse 15 again. So it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation that he worshipped, it says, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. He says it to 300. Guys, let me tell you what God's going to do. Now, what's happening when Gideon's saying that? Faith, the Holy Spirit's speaking through Gideon to these 300 men. There's absolute confidence in Gideon because the Holy Spirit's worked in his heart. And there's something coming out of Gideon, the confidence, the boldness, the faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? So in verse 16, then he divided the 300 men into three companies. All right, here's what he says. Guys, we're going to, you know, this 125,000 Midianites, we're going to surround these guys. I'm serious. We're going to surround these guys. It's funny when you think about it. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand and with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. So God's given him a plan. There's a plan here. And let me just say this. What we're seeing in verse 16 is well, let's keep reading here. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. So just watch me. When I blow the trumpet, And all who are with me, then you also will blow the trumpets, every man on the side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So when you hear the trumpet sound, just shout as hard as you can. Does that remind you of anything? Some shouting of Jericho? The shout of victory, the shout of the Lord? You know, what does the Bible talk about? You know, when the Lord comes back, there'll be the voice of the archangel, the shout, the trumpet of God sounding. I mean, it just puts terror in the camp of the enemy. In other words, think about it like this. Jesus comes in the beginning of his ministry, walks into the temple, and all of a sudden there's a guy there that's demon-possessed. And he's terrified. The demon says, I know who you are, the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? It's sort of, you know, funny to me in a way. It just shows you the heart of these demons when it comes to Christ. They're terrified of him. Think of the expectancy in the demonic realm. Think of the expectancy in Satan's kingdom. No, whether you're Satan yourself or you're a little minion demon or you're a principality, the demons have this expectancy. They're waiting to hear that shout in the trumpet of God. And believe me, when the Lord comes, it's going to be real exciting, you know. But I think in some ways that's what we're hearing here. Then look in verse 19, if you will. 19, faith triumphs in verses 19 through the end of this chapter. Here's what he says. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch and it was getting dark. They blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This is our lives. We're being broken. And all of a sudden the light of Christ, let your light so shine before men. There's the shout of victory in the camp. The Lord is the victorious one. He's already won the victory. That's what's happening here. They got them surrounded. What does the Bible say? The angels of the Lord encamp around those who trust him. You know, we're not alone here tonight. It's us and the Holy Spirit, but there's angels. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who trust him. What did Elijah say when his servant, you know, remember the Assyrians came and they surrounded the city when Elijah was in a city and they got up in the morning and the servant got up and looked out and saw all these people. And he said, wow, you know, we're done, man. We're surrounded. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. He said to his servant, there's more with us than with them. And the Bible says God opened the servant's eyes and he saw all these angels encamped around them. You know, these bodies are hindering us from seeing the spiritual realm. And we have to realize that. So the Lord's here. The angels are here. I mean, there's more with us than with them. It's a very exciting thing in a way, but this is a picture of, you know, let your light shine, die to yourself. You're not going to do this by yourself. What does he say? He put this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels now are broken. When the earthen vessels are broken, what's happening? Then the light is shining. That's what's going on here. Verse 20, then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held their torches in their left hands and their trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. So they stood their ground. The Bible says, stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of, you know, the whole picture there of the armor of God. Stand. And that's what we're seeing there. Just stand in faith and trust the Lord and God's going to work. So they have the army of these 25,000 surrounded with 300 men. It's getting dark now. They're shouting this shout. God has prepared Midian for this. When they hear this sound, the blowing of the trumpets, and believe me, I would imagine God magnified that sound and it came crashing into that camp and the Midianites are absolutely totally panicking. Verse 22, when the 300 blew their trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. They began to kill each other. They're just slashing away at anything that moves. And the army fled to Beth Esaiah toward Zerahah. And as far as the border of Abel-Meholah to Tabith, and the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, they pursued the Midianites. So now all of a sudden, all the other Jews are joining the army. I mean, the Midianites are running. And these 300 men are chasing them. And then others are joining the camp. Because you see, when you stand strong, it affects everybody else. When Gideon's faith is strengthened, the 300 are strengthened. When they stand firm and strong and they don't give up and they stand in their spot and they will not yield. Now think about it. If you're surrounding the camp of Midianite and they're panicking, they're running by you, they're going everywhere. But you just stand there. But it strengthens everybody else. So that's what's happening. Verse 24, then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim and said, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan, and they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So all of a sudden we're seeing this amazing event take place. 300 men putting to flight 125,000. And I would just submit to you that is impossible. It is literally impossible. But I would say again, God loves that. God loves the odds. Because the odds tell everybody God did this. The odds tell everybody this is not Gideon. This is not the 300 men. This is God. That's the whole point. When God judged Egypt, every judgment, the 11 judgments that fell upon Egypt, were all judgments on the gods of Egypt. And they all knew. What did God say? I did this. Why? For this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might reveal myself. That I might show myself, that I might declare myself. That's what God wants to do. And God is declaring himself through this guy named Gideon. God is showing himself not only to Israel. Think about it like this. All of Israel were cowering for all these years, as well as Gideon. And then God comes. And God basically says, what are you doing? I've given you the land. This won't anybody follow me? Won't anybody stand and trust me? Won't anybody be available for me? And God takes the guy named Gideon, whose family was the least, you know, and God used Gideon, who was least in the family, and God used Gideon, and God said, look, you got too many men in the army. If y'all win, then I'm going to not get any credit for this. And God had to whittle them down to 300. He did all that to reveal to Israel, what are you doing? Why are you living this way? Why are you living in fear? Why are you living in anxiety? Why are you living in impoverishment? Why are you living being afraid of the Midianites? They're much of idolaters. And if you'll just follow me, then I'll bless. And so God is showing himself to Israel. God's showing himself to Gideon. God's showing himself to the Midianites. And that's what's happening here. And so all of a sudden we see this faith is expressed. This faith is exalted in a way and says, just somebody trust me. Or another way to say that is this. Has anybody in the Bible ever trusted God and stepped out and failed? I don't know of anybody that ever trusted God and stepped out and obedient and failed. Because you can't fail if God's in it. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's what the Bible says. And so you and I need to have this faith that just stands in the evil day. You know, it's easy to trust the Lord when things are going well. It's another thing when all of a sudden the odds are way overwhelming. And what happens is it tests your faith in God. Is God able or is God not able? Is God true or is he not true? Is God faithful to what he says or is he not faithful? And our faith is being tested all the time. You know, I can remember when my son was 14 and he drowned. I remember my faith being tested. Do I believe God loves us or not? Do I believe God's in charge or not? Do I believe God knows what he's doing or not? Do I believe God's trustworthy or not? Do I believe God loves Jeremiah just as much as whatever? Do I believe that or not? And your faith is being tested. And the answer is, of course I believe that. of course he's faithful. Of course he loves us. Of course he knows what he's doing. Of course. And we may not like what he's doing. We may not agree with what he's doing. But that's not our choice. It's up to God. The question is, do we believe what the Bible says? And please understand that. Faith is in the Word. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And I'm only saying that because as the country disintegrates, as the country continues down this downward spiral, do you believe that God's able? Do you believe that God's able in the midst of this kind of an environment to have godly people that follow Jesus and will do great exploits for him? Do you believe that God is able to have you being a light in the midst of a dark place? Do you believe that where sin abounds, grace even more abounds? Do you believe that? Or is it just a phrase and a verse in the Bible that you like to quote? I mean, this is where our faith is hitting the ground. This is faith where faith has feet. And do we walk it out or do we cave in? And I would just challenge you, God is faithful. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. And this is one of the witnesses, a guy named Gideon, a nobody. And look what happened, what God did. So it's exciting to me. Let's pray. Lord, this evening as we close our study, we want to thank you for the life of this young man named Gideon. And we'll see in the next chapter a tragic ending of the life of Gideon. But we see in this chapter an amazing testimony, not of a man named Gideon, but of a God that loved him and called him and set him apart and anointed him and used him to accomplish a great work. This is all about you, Lord. It's all about your grace. It's all about your call on an individual. It's all about your faithfulness. It's all about your power. It's all about you not wanting and to share your glory with anybody else, certainly not any of us. We can't receive any credit. All the praise goes to you. All the glory goes to you. Because you alone are worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. And we are amazed. We worship because who are we that you would use us and call us out of this dark place, this dark world, to follow Jesus and to let our light shine. And in these last days to stand and to be firm in our commitment and our faith in Christ. Lord, strengthen our faith. There's times our faith is weak and we tremble and we're concerned and we don't know how is this going to happen. But Lord, we thank you as we look at Gideon, how you work with Gideon. How you understood when his faith was weak and you allowed him to go through the process so that his faith could be strengthened. You're very patient with us. And the trying of our faith is much more precious than the gold that perishes. And we pray that our faith might be found to praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Christ. We want to be faithful to the end. And so we ask in the name of Jesus to enable us in our own battles we fight in our own arenas, if you will, to be strong and to put to flight the armies of the aliens, as it says in Hebrews, to put to flight the demonic hordes that would attack and to ravage us. We stand strong in the faith of Christ. We believe in you and trust in you and rely upon you. You are our shield. You are our exceeding great reward. You are our fortress. You are the strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. You are our covering. You are our head. You are the foundation under our feet. You are the great cornerstone from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You're the one that we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ as Christians, how can the devil get to us? It's got to go through you first. And I pray that we would not be intimidated by all the posturing and all the threats and all the shouting of the enemy that come into our sphere. May we not listen to that garbage, but may we tune ourselves into what you're telling us, what you're saying to us. May we have faith responding to what you say, saying yes to Jesus, whatever you say, Lord. And if we're weak in faith, then you'll work with us and strengthen that faith. But we thank you for your patience with us. I'm reminded of what Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I want to say, Lord, here in this place, you will. By the grace of God, you will. We believe in you and trust in you. Strengthen our faith, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Any comments?